medical world, when this virus hit, it was all hands on deck. Every part of the medical system contributed to a solution, even if it was a temporary solution. And in mental health and substance use disorders, we need that mentality. Otherwise, we will be flooded and tens of thousands of people will fall through the cracks. And it's contingent upon all of us to reorganize what we do to meet that coming need.
That was Chris Boniff, Executive Director of the Oregon Chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Health, speaking at the Oregon Health Forum seminar, No Room at the Inn, Tackling Oregon's Mental Health Crisis. More information available online at OregonHealthForum.org. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.
Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Long and Twisted Tale of Jordan Cove LNG, a documentary slideshow screening. On Friday, June 5th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m., live streaming on Zoom. This slideshow depicts part two of Barbara Bernstein's radio documentary series, Holding the Thin Green Line, which explores what is at stake in Southern Oregon if the Jordan Cove LNG export terminal and Pacific Connected Gas Pipeline get built. After the screening, there will be a Q&A session with impacted landowners, community organizers, and land and water protectors featured in the documentary. Again, that's The Long and Twisted Tale of Jordan Cove LNG, a documentary slideshow screening, on Friday, June 5th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m., live streaming on Zoom. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hola! Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt. I am a member of the American Federation State, County, and Municipal Employees Retirees Union and the President of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. Tonight, I'm joined by my sisters in the struggle.
Hi, this is Dr. Audrey Terrell. I am the Vice President of the Coalition of Black Trade Union. I am also retired international staff of UAW in Detroit. And I'm also president and CEO of the Dr. Audrey Terrell Institute.
Good evening, radio listeners. This is Deborah Hall, and I am the current secretary treasurer for the Oregon Coalition of Black Trade Unionists and also a retiree, current retiree, or new retiree of the American Federation of Teachers. Thank you.
Tonight, our guest is Reverend Terrence Melvin. He's the president of the International Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. Tonight, we're discussing a new podcast called Labor First. Welcome to our show, President Melvin.
Hey, great to be here, Tina. How are you?
Doing, hanging in there. So can you tell us?
That's great, in these times.
Trust me, I know. Every day is definitely a challenge. Okay, can you tell us about Labor First?
It's actually Labor Shift. Labor Shift is a new CBPU podcast web series that we're putting together. And we did our first one on last week. It's basically our response to the moment that we find ourselves in today. You know, we're living at a time when we are under siege from all sides, a killer virus, a deranged president, a tanking economy, white racism that takes black lives, whether you're sleeping or jogging or wherever you're at. Labor Shift, though, is a place where we can engage in a respectful debate and while supporting each other in our local social justice work. That means, you know, in Labor Shift, we won't bite our tongue or dodge the difficult conversations that America and the labor movement need to be having. We're going to be honest, upfront, and talking about black workers from their perspective and reality. We're just going to be, quite frankly, open and honest about what's happening around us that many people in the greater community and some people in our own community don't even want to touch it, don't even want to look at. We're looking at workers' issues, not just unionized workers, but black workers, period.
Great. So, Terry, this is Deborah Hall. What was the idea behind Labor Shift?
Well, there was three things that really contributed to the idea of Labor Shift. The first was the realization that a new normal was going to emerge from this global pandemic, a new way of doing business, a new way of communicating. And as president of CBTU, part of my job is to read the tea leaves, if you will, and try to make moves for our future, you know, like expanding our digital infrastructure and the presence as an organization is a necessity and vital tool in our organizing. So that's the first thing. The second factor was our young leadership, who've been in my ear to be more direct with our membership and utilize our online presence to reach more people about the work of CBTU. You know, we do a whole lot of things in the community all around this country, but the problem is We're the type of people that we really don't toot our own horn. So a lot of people really don't know the great work that we do as an organization. And the young people that was coming up in the organization go, hey, we need to let people know. And these are some of the tools that we have to let them know by using the new social media outlets that are out there. So that's the second piece. And then this, lastly, and maybe the most important, has been the reality that black voices are being lost in this pandemic. We are dying at larger rates, being fined or arrested at higher rates, and a lot of the essential workers that, hey, you know, 6 months ago, you talk about who was essential, nobody thought it was that healthcare worker, nobody thought it was that garbage collector, nobody thought it was that fast food worker who they didn't want to give minimum wage to, or livable wage, I should say, to. But now, these are the people that many of them look like us, are in there, are now considered essential workers. We need a platform to have our voice and the issues not only heard, but debated internally for our community and our consciousness. So it was like all three of these factors that really helped spawn the idea of Labor Shift.
You know, with so much stuff going on these days, I think the timing of Labor Shift is right on board.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I don't think we had a choice. I mean, when you really look at what's going on, and like I said, we're like really looking at what's happening now, you know? And, you know, the old axiom goes, if not now, when? If not you, then who? You know, So, you know, it's like, why not now? Now, the times require adaptation, it requires development, it talks about we need advancement. And, you know, COVID has really exposed the inequities in the black community and proven that these living conditions are unsustainable. Look at our community. I mean, we've been talking about it for years. And that's what we want to do with labor shifts is not only have an internal conversation, but we need some of our friends and allies that don't look like us to listen in and really get an appreciation for what we're talking about and what we're going through. When you look at poverty and grocery and banking deserts in our community, when you talk about militarized forces, police forces, a racist criminal justice system, inadequate infrastructure, all these things have contributed to the rising deaths of blacks during this global pandemic. And we can't allow this to continue. We cannot emerge from this quarantine with the same racist rules operating. We've got to figure out how to do something different. And that's what we're trying to do with labor shift. We don't want to have a commercial, but we want to do something that's going to really awaken the consciousness of people and really have them really talk and us talk about what these issues are and how they affect us and what we can do to change them and how we can start working progressively together to do something different than we've done in the past.
And what this also does, it gives us one voice so that people are hearing that the move forward and not just the go to the union meeting and have it stop.
That's right. That is so confusing. I mean, so many times, you know, our issues, we try to bring our issues up, and that's the beauty of an organization called the Coalition of Black Trade Unions, because we don't, as I tell my brothers and sisters in the movement, we don't, as a constituency group of the labor movement, we don't have the luxury of just looking at one or two issues within the movement, or just looking at movement-type issues, if you will, contracts and that. We have to look at public sector, private sector, building trade, service sector, healthcare workers. We have to look at all their issues. And then, on top of that, we've got to bring to light the plight of our family and our friends when we go back home from where we came from. So our work is not just looking at what's in your contract, how can you get a better contract, but what are you going home to when you get home? And that's what we need to raise up, and that's the awareness that we need, the consciousness that we need to raise up within our community as well as within the union movement.
So I'd like to take this time to remind our listeners that you're listening to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. Our guest tonight is Reverend Terrence Melvin, who is the president of the International Coalition of Black Trade Unionists.
This is Dr. Terrell. I'd just like to ask President Melvin, can the affiliates include a link to the labor shift on their web pages?
Yeah, Labor Shift is a broadcast off the CBTU YouTube page. And our website also posts the link of the broadcast immediately following it. So we hope and we encourage affiliates and allies and friends to share the link, post it on their site, and encourage participation. You know, during our podcast, we will be taking questions from the viewers through our chat function and do our best to be conversational and engaging. It's not, like I said before, it's not a news report. It is black folk talking to black folk about black folk issues. So, yes, definitely, you can go to our website. The short answer is go to our website and post the link onto any of the websites, and we would encourage folks to do it.
I saw the podcast, and it was very, very, I was there when you spoke. I was just so encouraged now because we were ahead of the time. What you were talking
all
about.
Right.
You are so much, and I said, oh my God, this is so real today. So I can certainly vouch for that. It's appreciative. It's something that we should not miss, to stay actively involved and encouraged Hey, if we ever want to do something, this is the time. The second question I want to ask, is there a coincidence between this and COVID-19?
Well, is there a coincidence? I believe that there's a correlation between COVID and Black Death. You know, like, you look at the, mm-hmm. the rate of our people dying from this disease, it's largely based on two factors. And to be perfectly honest, until we did the podcast, I didn't really fully understand it myself. But the first of the two factors is the inadequate healthcare system. The hospitals and clinics in the Black community are understaffed and resourced, and healthcare coverage is paltry or too expensive for Black workers. So the healthcare infrastructure is subpar. And because the healthcare infrastructure is subpar, we start out with things like high blood pressure, diabetes, you know, the sugar, we call it the sugar in the day. Yeah, that stuff. And, you know, we got all these underlying factors that when we get a little sniff of COVID, the coronavirus, we get hit like a Mack truck. So that's with the healthcare system. And we don't have a good system in place where we can go get taken care of right away. The second part, so that's the healthcare piece. The second part is, as I said earlier, many Black workers are, quote unquote, now essential workers. So they are more exposed to the virus than others. Blacks dominate the essential worker industry, be it rideshare, be it healthcare workers, be it grocery workers, be it postal workers, garbage collectors. These are the Black jobs in many communities. This means that the Black workers and their families are overexposed to the virus, and couple that with the failed healthcare system, you have a rising death toll, infecting toll first, and then death toll in our community. So is it a coincidence? It is something that we definitely will be looking at. As I said when I started out earlier, we can't come out of this pandemic the same way we went into this pandemic. We've got to be in folk faith about our issues, and this has to be a lightning rod, Dr. Terrell, to wake us all up to look at life differently as we're trying to determine what the new normal is. We as people of color, we as Black people in this country, have to be clear and with everyone that's out there that we are not going back to what we were in before we came into this pandemic. We are not going to accept a subpar criminal justice system that says that you're wrong just because you're dark. We're not going to accept a healthcare system that says people that look like us don't have a right to quality healthcare. We're not going to accept coming out of here an education system that says inner city children get a less of an education than those in the suburbs. We're coming out of this pandemic united as a community, if I have anything to do with it, and standing together saying our community is going to be better on the way out than it was on the way in.
Amen. Right. If that's a resolution, I feel so moved.
It has to be all of our resolutions. It has to be.
Yes.
Well, I know for me,
when
we talk about the COVID, I mean, I was aware of the fact that there are a lot of differences between the different jobs that people do. But since this has happened, there has been a real distinction between what people are calling heroes and the everyday work people. And so I think it's the union's position to bring up all positions so that nobody not necessarily feels slighted, that everyone is given their due justice.
Well, I mean, if you look at it in a general way, Tina, I mean, I think that's the way that the labor movement tries to put things in more generalities. But what I have found in my 40 years of doing this is that generalities mean that we get left out.
Yeah.
generalities mean that we're looking out for the majority, and we ain't the majority. We soon will be. We soon will be the majority in the labor movement, and we'll soon be the majority in the workforce. But right now, we're not. And when they start talking about generalizing things because it's all equal when you generalize, we always get the bottom of the barrel. And we can't have that go on any further. We've got to push down these barriers within our institutions that we call our unions, that we love, and many of us have been working in for years. But we have to stand up and be the ones that raise our issues within our own union halls and make sure that they are addressed by those we elect as our leaders, and let them know that we will not stand by anymore and just allow our issues to be pushed to the back. We got to look out. You know, I look at this a lot as ministry work. And just like you can't go to have people come to your church and preach to them about a gospel when their stomach is hungry, you've got to have a ministry that's going to meet them where they are. If your people are hungry, you got to feed them. If they have poor health care, you got to figure out how to get them health care. Because if they don't have that mindset, they ain't listening to you. If you got coming to work, and then they missing work because grandmama can't get to their doctor, so somebody got to be home to take care of grandma, so they got to call in sick, and you're not addressing that issue because they're missing work, but you're not addressing the root issue of why they're missing work. You're just moving members through your ranks and just changing them over and not addressing the core issue. We've got to tie our movement to our members and our members to our movement. We've got to meet their needs. Whatever their needs are, we've got to be there to meet them, which means we need to be in our communities figuring out what our members' needs are and making sure they have the needs met when they go home so that they can be healthy and come to work and do what they need to do when they go to work.
Well, that's an excellent segue into me making some announcements, President. And I'm a licensed gospel preacher, active here at home. I just want to make a quick announcement. My presidency gave me the approval to do so. That on June the 6th, that there will be a food box and quarantine kit giveaway from 12 to noon at Emmanuel Church, 1033 North Sumner, here in Portland. So you're right about that. We've got to touch our community. And then secondly, as the president of this institute that I've been a God has given me to be involved with youth, they're going to start a how to vote watch party with the youth, starting with them high schools. I have 10 high schools, and they're going to have information. One of the young ladies who's a junior in college, I made her an executive administrator. She's going to get together 15 youth. They're 17 years old and above, showing them how to vote, how to register to vote, when to vote, what the ballot looks like. So the word goes beyond just that, being a union brother or sister. You got to go out in that community. And so anyone listening that want to know more about that youth election watch party, you can get more information on the dates, times, and places. You go to Facebook at Jatai Institute, or you can contact Jatai Institute 2016 at gmail.com. And just a few more announcements before we wrap up. The Coalition of Black Trade Union meets the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. Since this virus, we have finished face-to-face meetings and are utilizing Google Hangouts that we love to do, we've learned to do, to conduct our meetings. So our next meeting will be held on June the 9th, 2020, and our email address is orcbcu10@gmail.com. And we would love to hear from you, so join us in our involving adventure of representing Black union workers. The work continues.
I'd also like to remind our listeners that the next labor shift is on Tuesday, June 2nd at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can listen to it at www.youtube.com. National CBTU. Well, President Melvin, I want to thank you once again for coming up with this brilliant idea of how to intermingle and how to weave our members into what's going on now so that we can all look out for our own self-best interest, and that we're all moving in the same direction, and that we're all moving the same message that, yes, we do matter.
Thank you so much, Tina. Let me say before I get off that I just want to thank you for your leadership in Oregon and the work that you do every day on behalf of working men and women and the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. I want you to know publicly that we truly appreciate all that you bring to the table and all that you make sure we bring to the table on a regular basis. So thank you so much, Dr. Terrell. Thank you. And Deborah Hall, thank you so much for your tireless work that you do for the organization. You are truly appreciated. You are unsung heroes that people don't know about that are out there every day doing the work. And I want you to know that as your international president, that I truly thank you for all the work that you do. It's that asset that we need. And if I get every chapter doing the work that you guys are doing, we would be light years ahead of where we are now.
Amen. Well, I guess with that, we'll call it a wrap. Thank you very much. Holla.
Thank you.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kabu.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KABU, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. Please visit our website at kabu.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. We're here with Danny Wilson and Tracy Schlapp from the founders of the Folsom 50 Project. How y'all doing today?
Great.
Good.
It's been a while. We've had you on the show before, and I think that was probably kind of just the beginning of things coming together for the project. So can you just kind of at least brush over what the Folsom 50 Project is and how it came about, and we can kind of get into all the new stuff?
Yeah, I think we were on your show in October of 2018 the first time, and we had just basically finished most of the first season of touring the prison, playing our version of Johnny Cash's At Folsom Prison record, and we went to 11 of the 14 Oregon prisons. And we actually went to the Sheridan Federal Prison and played there as well. And it started with an offhand comment by me that I wanted to get my band together and play that whole record start to finish in a bar somewhere, to which Tracy quickly said it would be much more interesting if we played it in prison. And so a few phone calls later, actually a lot more work than that, but a few phone calls later, we kind of got in with somebody who helped us started up in the prison, and worked on getting a grant from the Regional Arts and Culture Council to help fund the first couple of shows in Columbia River Correctional Institution here in Portland and Coffee Creek Correctional in Wilsonville, the women's prison, as well as do an outside show for the general public. The RAC helped us get that going as well. So we went through all 2018 doing that, and I'm probably living something out there. Oh. And the time we talked to you was right before our final show, our outside performance for the RAC concert. And then we started fresh again in 2019. And along the way, we had a number of guys playing with us. And some people could travel to the eastern part of the state and southern part of the state. And some people couldn't because of their jobs or whatever, so they would play locally. So in 2019, we did another tour, not quite as big, but we hit quite a few prisons as well. And not playing the Folsom Prison record anymore, but still concentrating on Johnny Cash, because the thing that we figured out early on was Cash's activism and the reason he was giving his time to people that were incarcerated. And we were trying to follow in his footsteps, I guess, a little bit, and see people inside as human beings worthy of, you know, proper treatment and attention. And
so one of the things that came out of that experience of going around and meeting people and playing music is that there's just this, that a huge part of a concert is it's a relaxed activity. It's fun and people are relaxed. And so the other part of it is that we started cultivating stories with people. And so we started trading stories and hearing stories that we could then tell. And so we decided that what made sense was in between playing with our Luther's Boots, the first season and the second season, where we're still trying to raise some money so we could pay musicians to go into prison. Danny and I were asked by Vancouver School of Arts and Academics to come in and talk about our project. And so we put together a musical lecture, and Danny picked some of the songs from the Folsom album, and then I told stories of folks we met inside. And so we